Bills fans, welcome to the Bills Wire Daily Podcast post-game edition. I am your host, Jeremy Uhas, and joining me, like last week, Brad Gelber on this post-game podcast episode. Hey, Brad, what's up?
Hey, Jeremy. Thanks for having me back on again.
Yeah, no problem. First home game for the Bills in 2018. Didn't get off to a great start, especially in the first quarter. First half, really, was pretty abysmal for the defense. That's where I want to start. With the defense and maybe with this bizarre story with Vontae Davis apparently choosing to quit and retire at halftime. And you had called it kind of jokingly, I think, on Twitter. But what a really weird situation. And then really kind of almost ironically, the Bills play better when he's not in the lineup in the second half.
Yeah, it was, I've never really seen anything like that. I know a lot of the media members that kind of talked about it or, reported on it in the locker room. They asked Sean McDermott after the game what happened to Vontae Davis, and all Sean McDermott said was, he pulled himself out of the game, and that was it. And then, they started talking to some of the players, and I believe it was Lorenzo Alexander was the first one to say that he was told that Vontae basically decided to quit on the team and told them he's retiring. And, there were some further reports that he was seen leaving the stadium in his street clothes at halftime. And that has to be one of the oddest things I've ever heard. I mean, it's one thing if, whatever reason guys decide to up and retire, whether it's he feels maybe physically he's just not back from his injury fully and he feels like he can't do it, or if it's an emotional thing and he just thinks this team is so bad that he doesn't want to be a part of it, whatever the reason is, like, can't you just wait a couple more hours till after the game? Like, I don't know, unless there's something more to the story, which maybe there very well could be, that we don't know about. It's just, even some of the players were saying, like, if he changes his mind tomorrow, we're not going to welcome him back into the locker room. There's just, that's a very toxic thing at that point, because in the NFL or any sport for that matter, the roster, these guys that are together so much, it becomes like a brotherhood, and it becomes, especially on the Bills, the way they preach, culture and process and all this stuff. It's all about this bond they formed, and from, all reports and stuff, that's a close locker room. So for Vontae to, basically just quit on them, and he left them shorthanded in a situation where Phillip Gaines was hurt and Taron Johnson was hurt the week before. They're weak at defensive back right now, so they were shuffling around safeties to fill in and play that role because he just decides to leave the game. So and like you said, I jokingly said on Twitter when I heard, some of the reporters were saying that he just didn't come back out at halftime, and according to the team, there was no injury to report. So I said jokingly, I wonder if he retired. So obviously that got, some attention on Twitter. But, it's a very odd situation, and it seemingly we seem to find the Bills in a lot of these weird retirement scenarios, yeah, whether exactly. It Kyle Orton a few years ago or Anquan Boldin, or it's we find more and more of these like happening, but I've never heard of one at halftime happen before.
Well, it just seems like it's getting worse, Brad. Like, this is not the first time a player just kind of retired or kind of quit on continuing either the season or in this case a game with the team. Like, should this be something we look at as like a problem with the organization or just the players to bring in? Because like, it's not happening like this around other teams.
Right. That's a good point. I mean, I don't know. Because like I said to you, the thing we hear is that it's a tight locker room or they respect the coaches or it's all this stuff. Like, it seems like it would be the opposite of that. But maybe if you have a personality that doesn't mesh with that, or for whatever reason, they just, some of these guys are coming in and they feel like, to me at the end of the day, it's almost like perhaps he looks at it like I said, I don't want to be a part of a team that could go 0-16, like that kind of mindset, and which is fine. But like, first of all, you don't do it at halftime. That's the thing I don't understand. And maybe we'll hear more of this and it'll come out as we go. But, I just don't understand it, because he's been, and it's not like he's a young kid who made like a spontaneous decision. He's been around the league for a long time, and it's not like he was it's not like a team traded him. He was forced to come to the Bills. He chose to sign here as a free agent. So, it's just one of those things that maybe we won't ever quite figure out what happened, but you know, my favorite retirement story was still Kyle Orton telling, you know, the media, I'll be right back, and then he never came back. I think that one would be hard to top, but, you know, I think now this one is going to be one that we're always going to look back on and just think, like, what the hell happened?
Here's the only thing that I can fathom, and this is just purely speculation, by the way. I have no idea if this was the case. But we heard that Sean McDermott took over play calling duties for Leslie Frazier in the second half to run the defense, which gave up 28 points in the first half. So maybe it was in a halftime adjustment once McDermott took over play calling duties to go up to Vontae and say, hey, listen, you know, I want you to play nickel, or I'm going to bench you and we're going to put it. Like, maybe he just made Vontae know something was going to change in his role, because he did struggle so much, and so did the defense. But maybe that is something that maybe sent him over the edge to the point where, all right, well, if I'm not going to play, like, this is stupid, I'm out. That's my only thought of, like, maybe something that would just tick him off to the point of, you know, going to the lengths of just quitting on his team. Right. But, you know, and that's not giving him an out or reason for doing it. It's just maybe that's just kind of the story that we'll never hear.
Right.
Is kind of like what you were referring to. Well, unfortunately, that kind of overshadowed Josh Allen's first start with the team. He went 18 for 33, 245 yards, a touchdown late to Kelvin Benjamin, and then the two interceptions. Was sacked also five times. I thought he looked poised. He looked pretty impressive in the pocket. Definitely an upgrade from Nathan Peterman last week, just in terms of you felt like every time Allen was sitting in the pocket, there was a potential for a big play. And that alone, I think, was an upgrade from last week. Obviously, with his first start, he's learned a lot, and will learn a lot this season, as he'll likely be the starter moving forward, too. What did you like from him or dislike from Allen in his first start?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I thought that he had overall, you know, a pretty average game, which is a huge step up from Nathan Peterman. You know, you and I talked about this the other day. I said to you, if he could just, you know, have a game that was halfway decent, when we previewed the game, that I think most Bills fans would feel like that was a pretty, you know, big step up. And I thought at times he looked good. He made some throw, his touchdown throw, albeit, you know, at the very end of the game when maybe the Chargers weren't necessarily, quote unquote, trying as hard or whatever you want to call it. That was a throw that not many quarterbacks can make, and it was purely based on his arm strength. He really fit that ball in there, and that's something that, like, Nathan Peterman wouldn't be able to do. He just doesn't have the arm strength. So I thought we saw some nice things. I thought seeing Josh Allen take some shots down the field was really refreshing. Not that he connected on all of them, and some of them didn't look very pretty, but just the fact that that's what we expected to see from Josh Allen, you know, utilizing his arm, and kind of we expected turnovers to come, which they did today with the two interceptions. And, you know, the second interception was really ugly. It was hard to kind of tell where he was even putting that ball. But, you know, I think we expected to see that with Josh, more risk, you know, higher reward, but also higher risk, meaning more turnovers. So, but, you know, again, coming from Tyrod Taylor the past couple seasons, that was a big knock on him. He was too protective with the ball. Nathan Peterman, out of nowhere, kind of changed his game last week from being a guy that gets the ball out fast to a guy that was holding onto the ball way too long and had a 0.0, you know, quarterback rating. So Josh Allen comes in and he does make some mistakes, but I think all Bills fans will take those mistakes if it means, you know, some life on offense, which we finally saw, you know, for the first time this season today.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought with given the offensive line, let's get to them. Also, just at times, just looked so overmatched again this week. I think there was a couple plays Allen would have liked back to have gotten rid of the ball a little quicker. Guys coming off the edge, and maybe he didn't account or see a blitz coming. But still, no rushing game to speak of. Actually, McCoy with 39 yards on the ground, Allen with 32. So that's not good, because we said probably, too, coming into this game that the rushing attack would have to help Josh Allen. He had to help himself almost in that department. This offensive line is just not getting it done. And also the Bills deciding to only dress four receivers. You have a pretty young tight end group, even if you think that they're all pass catchers. So he does not have the help around him either. So I thought, just given those circumstances, he did about as good as you can expect for a rookie making his first start.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing was, obviously, we didn't really talk about Jeremy Curley getting cut yesterday and in place of the defensive tackle Thomas, right, kind of getting promoted from the practice squad. And Sean McDermott was asked about that and said it was, you know, purely a numbers game with the Heat. They knew that they were going to need to rotate defensive tackles, so he was a casualty there. But obviously not well-received by fans or the media, because they've had, you know, enough issues with their passing game that you get rid of a wide receiver who was a veteran addition that was kind of, you know, slotted into that slot role, who, you know, you thought was going to be a guy they could kind of rely on to be a steady target, and then he's let go. So, yeah, I think that, you know, as you said, the offensive line struggled, which we expected was gonna be the case. But, you know, it's tough because we talked about the center battle going into the season, and, you know, Ryan Groy at times looked like he was going to be, you know, a decent center for them, and he's struggled a lot lately. And, you know, I'm not saying Bodine is worlds better than him, but at some point you think maybe they'll slide Groy over to the guard and give Bodine a start, because even today, you know, you saw Groy get smacked around a bit and he fell on top of Shady, and then McCoy left the game hurt because his center fell on top of him. So obviously I'm not blaming that on Groy, like, you know, it is what it is, it was an accident, but just completely overmatched at times, and it's like you said, Allen's not getting help. There was one play when Marcus Murphy just gets bowled over, and Allen's running for his life. Like, I know Murphy's a running back, it's not, you know, he's not expected to be a phenomenal blocker, but it's just no help anywhere, and it's tough. And, you know, we finally saw, I think Justin might have made this point in the post or the pregame show we did a couple days ago, or you, yeah, one of you did, but about Charles Clay getting involved in the game, and we did see Clay have two catches today. Not that that's, you know, an amazing day by any means, but, you know, he had a couple catches there, and yeah, it's odd to think that LeSean McCoy is your leading, you know, receiving on the day with four catches. So that's just showing you right there that they have an issue with the passing game that's not being helped. But, you know, once again, the offense didn't really seem to get anything going, even run or pass. So they're going to have to continue to figure out, you know, what they can do. And they definitely look better in the second half. So hopefully they can kind of carry that momentum into week three a little bit.
And then flipping over to the defense, Brad, it's just that first half was just rough. I mean, almost unwatchable. Phillip Rivers doing whatever he wanted, it seemed like. You know, he finishes the day 23 for 27, 256, and three touchdowns. The Bills did make him look a little bit more pedestrian in the second half, picking up a couple sacks, and looked like frustrating him a little bit at times. But that first half, it seemed like the Chargers had scripted plays to know exactly how they could take advantage of the Bills. And maybe it's a little bit of Anthony Lynn combined with Ken Whisenhunt just scheming a great game plan together. But they got the matchups they wanted, and I think Tremaine Edmonds got exposed a little bit at one-on-one coverage, trying to cover, you know, Melvin Ingram for anybody is going to be tough out of the backfield. But, geez, I think just the defense was just so depressing to watch in that first half. Any, like, good signs you took in the second half to take away, or just what were your overall thoughts on the defense?
Yeah, you know, I said to you going into this game that my fear was Phillip Rivers, just the way he's able to diagnose and pick apart, you know, defenses, especially pre-snap. He's able to identify it, and if you have defenses that he's able to kind of start to hone in on, you know, tendencies or other things, you're in big trouble. And clearly, I mean, he was toying with them by the end of the second half. He just, whatever he wanted, he got. And so, you know, I don't know what went into the decision necessarily to change up the play calling, as it looks like Sean McDermott took over at halftime. I don't know if Leslie Frazier was struggling with, you know, the matchup versus Phillip Rivers, or exactly what kind of went into that. But obviously things improved greatly in the second half. So, you know, you have to credit Sean McDermott for making that decision if he did step in and take over the play calling. What that means, you know, going forward, does Leslie get the play calling back next week, or does Sean say at this point we've had two really bad games defensively to the point where I need to kind of right the ship at this point, which very well could be the case. But, you know, it's interesting because I read a lot of people criticizing Tremaine Edmonds about his play and really struggling, especially in the pass game on defense. And I think it's just very important to remember that, and I don't mean to, you know, absolve him of the blame or anything like that. I mean, he's an NFL player. It doesn't matter at this point. He's going to be responsible, you know, for his play. But it's a lot to ask of a rookie to come in and, you know, quarterback the defense, especially, I think people forget he didn't do that in college. So it's not like he's coming in having done this for 4 years at college and he's stepping. He didn't do that in college. So he's coming in now. He's learning, you know, to play in the NFL for the first time for himself, but he's also now responsible for pre-snap reads for his other defenders too, to make sure they're lined up correctly. All this stuff that, you know, it has to be just so much pressure on him at this point. And I'm not saying he's not up to it or this or that, but it's not surprising me to see him struggle a little bit. It's only his second game in the NFL. So, you know, I think, like you said, they did turn things around in the second half, and the hope is that they continue to find a way to get better. But it is a bit concerning to me that through two games, you know, the secondary was something that we kind of thought would be a real strength of this team as they were last year, and the turnovers or the takeaways last season were a big part of the team's overall record in making the playoffs. And they did have some opportunities today, and I know there were some overturned, you know, calls and whatnot, but yeah, it's just not. And people were asking me specifically, well, why is the defense struggling? You know, weren't they supposed to be better even? And they're way worse. And it's hard to pinpoint one thing as to why they're struggling this much. But through two games, while they did have a better second half, you know, it almost felt like the Chargers kind of took their foot off the gas pedal a little bit. So, yeah, it's just been pretty ugly at this point so far.
And then it's not going to get any easier as we look forward to Vikings for week 3 and then also Green Bay, both road games to kind of wrap up September for the Bills. Brad, we'll definitely have you on during the week as we kind of look forward to those two matchups. And thanks again for joining me on this this edition of the postgame wrap-up of the Bills. Again, losing at home to the Chargers 31-20. Make sure you catch us, guys, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, also on Spotify and Stitcher as well. Bradley, thanks again for coming on and spending some time just reviewing this one. Not as bad as last one. We were thankful. I know that we joked about it a little bit last time about we hope we don't have to bear and go through what we did against the Ravens. But Josh Allen, I agree, had a decent first start. We'll see if he can build on it here going forward.
Yeah, and, you know, one of these weeks I'm confident we'll have a victory post-game show. When that'll happen, it might not come till October, but yeah. I think eventually we'll have one of them.
All right, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll catch you this week again on the Bills Wire Daily Podcast. Make sure you head over to Bills Wire to check out all the articles, Brad's articles up there, and Nick Wotan, managing editor as well, Justin DeLauro, they got you covered. So thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow and Tuesday, the rest of the week, for your Bills Wire Daily Podcast episodes. Thanks again.